World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Okay.
Well, boys and girls, intolerance is a beautiful thing. I've just gone through some stuff this morning. Got up good and early getting prepared for the show. And it just hit me. Intolerance is a beautiful thing. I'm proudly intolerant. See, they try to take words. Oh, I got so much to share with you today. Oh, so much I want to talk about today. They determine which words are good and which words are bad. They determine which words, which behaviors are good and which behaviors are bad. They associate words with certain behaviors and they program us and we fall into the party line. I think intolerance is a beautiful thing. Many things in my life I will not tolerate. And America would be a lot better if we adopted that ideal. Intolerance is a beautiful thing. I ain't putting up with that. I'm not going to put up. Is there ever going to be any outroar, outrage at all? The Boy Scouts have succumbed. The Boy Scouts aren't even the Boy Scouts anymore. It has to be a spirit. It has to be something demonic that would make what would clearly be guys who run the Boy Scouts are strong, intelligent businessmen. They're CEOs of corporations. It's not just Joe down the street with some fish line hanging out of his mouth. These are fundraising, money making. What is the matter with these guys? Well, I know what it is. Clearly, they're running out of Boy Scouts. So they think, well, if we open it up to girls, we have more people to choose from. So let's get rid of Boy Scouts because it'll fit right in with intolerance. Let's get rid of that. Now let's just call it Scouts. That's what we'll do. And then we can get more people and more money will come in. And by the way, they didn't talk to the Girl Scouts about it. The Girl Scouts are still the Girl Scouts. I want to see when the boys start going to the Girl Scouts. What's going to happen there? And the Girl Scouts, they don't deserve to have any girls in the Girl Scouts because they're one of the most pro-abortion groups in America. Did you know that? Of course you didn't know that.
Well, Coach.
Yeah.
Well, the girls can join the Boy Scouts, but for the boys to join the Girl Scouts, they gotta do some things to their body first.
Yeah, I got you, man. So listen, it's crazy. We're living in crazy times. We're talking about what would normally be clear thinking human beings who are being taught foolishness. I wrote on that this week, by the way. I wrote on it. It's not natural. Maybe I'll get to that today. Man. I got a lot of great feedback about what we did yesterday, that all Jews are Israelites, but not all Israelites are Jews. But man, that was I don't know what you guys think. Those last 3 days were eye-opening to me. And I don't care how much they call me anti-Semitic. I don't care what they throw at me. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because it's just a weapon to try to silence us. I know like a lot of you watching right now, I got the emails. Wow, people said, I didn't know any of that. And I said just before we came on the air, that you think about the kids that we have in high school today, in our public schools today, do you think those kids really know about the civil rights movement, what really took place in them? Do you think they really know? Do they really have any idea what it was like during the 60s with the hippies and Jimi Hendrix and the Beatles and Rolling Stones and the transformation of the culture that took place? Do they have any idea what really happened there? Yeah. So if our kids today aren't even aware of the history of a generation ago, how can we expect the Jews to be a pure bloodline? Just look how our own families are messed up. I mean, folks, listen. I know it shakes your theology, but this isn't hard, man. Just use some common sense. Just go out and take a dog and just let a dog go through four generations of breeding of different puppies with different, and see if he looks at anything like he started out with four generations later. If that bloodline is pure, we're so, I can't believe how stupid we are. How we, maybe that's not the right word, stupid. Stupid has as a root word stupor. So yeah, maybe we are in a stupor. Maybe we are. I need some help today. Hey, real quick, Jared, pull up that thing I sent you from Rob Pugh, All Hands on Deck. I want everybody to see that Rob created a beautiful little poster for us. I'm going to get that up on the screen. We'd love for you to come and join us in June. I believe for some of you, it'll be a life-changing event. And we charge, what did I say, $30? That's almost unbelievable. $30, which includes four meals. And we're going to do some street activity. So if you want to get on out on the game field, and Jared's got it up there for us, All Hands on Deck, June 14th through 17th, Thornville, Ohio. Rob Pugh put this together for us, by the way. Beautiful. If you want to learn to walk out your faith, no, I mean, it's going to be scary. Going to be scary, promise you. It's going to be something you've never done, but you won't be alone. There'll be a bunch of you. Go there and sign up and come and join us. Love to have you. Going to go to Maine this week, David Arthur. You can go to CoachDaveLive.com. There's a lot of stuff you can find there, but I'm going to be in Maine, leaving in early morning, Maine. We're going up there to do a Man Up conference with David Arthur and some others. Chad Estes has his event going on in Texas this weekend at his house. I bring all you guys in, but we've already spoken about all that. I don't think anybody's if you haven't made plans to go to Texas now, you're probably not gone. And if you haven't made plans to go to the event in Maine, you're probably not gone. And I don't know for the life of me why you wouldn't come. If I, to all hands on deck on June 14th, if I said, listen, everybody who comes gets $1,000, do you have any idea how many people would come? So it's just a matter of priorities, isn't it? It really is for all of you. You all got a lot of reasons, a lot of excuses. All of you. Come and join us. Say, oh, well, I don't even hear. Cool, I got that done. Good news from Rusty. He jumped on a Learjet last night. It's amazing. I don't know what it cost you, Rusty. Oh, my goodness. Took a Learjet, Jeremiah. They stabilized Jeremiah to the mount. I thought it was going to be a helicopter. No. On a Learjet. They flew him from Learjet to the hospital in Houston. That's an amazing story there, which if you go to Rusty Thomas's website on Facebook, just type in Rusty Thomas and you can read it. It's become a national story, what's going on there with Rusty. So I don't know, man. Something miraculous is going on. I don't even know what it is. I don't even know. I don't know how to characterize it. Golly, this is Flea Flicker Friday, but I got a lot of fleas I want to flick. I really do. So I'm hesitant here. Okay, anybody got something? I'll be faithful to what we're doing here. Rush Limbaugh calls it Open Lines Friday, never opens a line. And so I don't want to be Flea Flicker Friday and never flick a flea. So, hey, if somebody want to flick something out on the table, go ahead. If not, I'll throw something out there. Door's open. Come on in.
I'll be down at Rusty's house on Sunday night and starting to install flooring in his house on Monday, brother. And that has been a spiritual battle. The guy who was going with me, one of my elders in the church, brother, two days ago, man, he started complaining of chest pains and numbness down his arms. Brother, he's got to go in and have an angiogram on Tuesday. Yesterday, I went and grabbed the trailer, the OSA trailer, and my car started making this really bad sound out of the rear end, brother. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I can't pull a trailer with my Suburban. Brother, I knew this was spiritual. You ready? I simply rebuked it in Jesus' name. And immediately the sound went away out of my car.
My goodness. Praise the Lord. Huh? Amen, Dale. It's great stuff. Is money coming in for you, babe?
Well, I've heard the check is in the mail, but to be truthful, I haven't received anything yet. So we'll see. That's all right. It's already
it, it will. It will. Yeah. See, if we realized, you know, you could die tomorrow. You know, I struggle with this, but it's not the right word. I think about this a lot. All that stuff that you're hanging on to. Well, I have firsthand experience. Neighbor next door just went into the nursing home and his son-in-law's in there cleaning up the mess. And he just says, oh my goodness, all this stuff that the dad left here, all this stuff. And see, it meant the world to him because it had sentimental attachment to it. But it's junk to everybody else. And at some point, all of us, I'm talking to me now, when my time to go be with the Lord comes, all this stuff of earthly value was of nothing. It doesn't matter how much money left in my checking account. I mean, I could leave $1 million. It don't mean anything other than my kids blow it. That's really all it means. And so, you know, while you're here on earth, you have an opportunity to make a significant difference in the lives of other people, sometimes financially. And we don't do it because we're selfish in our own hearts, saying, well, I might need that. I might need that in retirement. Well, if that's true, then you're not really trusting the Lord, because the Bible says that you shall reap what you sow. When you plant, sound like a word of faith teacher, doesn't it? When you plant, God's faithful. Faithful. So,
hey, Coach.
Yeah, that money's coming in, Dale. Yeah.
Hey, yeah, well, I'm not worried about that. I didn't ask for the money to come in.
I understand. Before I
went and bought the flooring, that wasn't even an issue. But let's go back to the floods last year. Do you remember when I said, you know, we could have gone up and knocked on those people's doors 3 days before the storm set in and said, hey, we're here to take your stuff. And they would have brought guns, then called the police. But the day after that storm hit, everything they cling to, they now curse.
There's a burden to them.
Begging for us to take it out.
Yep, yep. So let's help people out here, man. Let's help one another out. They shall know Christians by our love for one another. And man, great opportunity. Okay, anything else? I got Roger. You're gonna like this one. You ready?
Hey.
Now, hey, yeah.
Real quick, just since I wanted to emphasize also the fine teaching that you've given us over the last couple of months dealing with retirement and all heading to Florida. What a waste of time. What a waste of money. Dale needs a little of that. The Christian schools need a little about that. Your grandkids need that. What a waste of a legacy ending that way.
Yeah.
Amen, I agree, Roger.
Roger. Yeah, you know, it's like, be careful. Please understand, I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings, but I see stuff and I process it. And as my wife will tell you, sometimes my thoughts get ahead of my mouth, or my mouth gets ahead of my thoughts. I know of a family right now that's a beautiful thing, beautiful family, and they're raising funds to go dig a well at someplace in Africa. And I think, boy, that's noble. But I can take you to Newark. I can drive you 9 miles where people need wells dug. What has happened to us, though, this idea of evangelism is to the world first when we haven't done it at home. I'm as guilty as anybody. But I'll tell you this, I have never been not on one foreign missions trip. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm right. That doesn't mean it. But in my mind, my buddy Cal Zastro says this, and it's really good, and I say this to honor Cal Zastro. Cal goes to China regularly. I ain't got no interest in going. But Cal goes regularly. And he says, Coach, nobody should have the right to hear the gospel twice before some people have heard it once. And so, you know, God bless Cal. God bless him. I mean, takes people to China and hands out Bibles and goes and lays down his life. My brother's in Turkey. My goodness, are you kidding me? So Joe, you better keep your head down, man. You better not wear a cross hat wherever you're going. And that's noble. But look around right where we are. Right where we are. And see, if the purpose of the gospel is getting people saved, then it's a different perspective. But if the purpose of the gospel is to expand the kingdom of God, that's an entirely different perspective on it. And if I can evangelize people here in Columbus, Ohio, I can reach the world. Just evangelizing these people to reach the world. And when I reach the world, I don't mean you got to go to China. How about if I evangelize you here and you go to Houston, Texas? I mean, Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the world. Yeah, Jerry.
Just, I mean, be the light on the hill. That's what everybody described America as. Something that's...
Yes.
We really need to remember our history. Like, me and my brother, we were singing Marine Corps cadences to each other, you know, because there's a history to the Marine Corps, right? There's a history, yes. A tradition of honor.
Data.
And the cadence goes, give me that old Marine Corps spirit. Give me that old Marine Corps spirit. Give me that old Marine Corps spirit because it's good enough for me. And then it goes on and you sing about the battles that the Marine Corps has been in. It was good in Guadalcanal. It was good in Vietnam. You know, it was good. And then you go and you sing about the Marine Corps saints. It was good for Smedley Butler. It was good for Dan Daly. And it's good enough for me. Why can't we do that as Americans? And more so, why can't we do that as Christians? Why can't we sing, give me that good old Christian spirit, you know, because it's good enough for me. Like,
yeah, that's, amen.
Jared, and we don't have history. We got no traditions.
We have no history. Listen, it's not even that. I was thinking, my brain's crazy, okay? I can't explain it. This is the way my brain operates. I was thinking of my great-grandfather, George Dobbenmeyer, who died in 1963. He's buried right beside my father. They're in the cemetery in the same area. My grandfather, I was in his room when he died in 1963. I was 10 years old. I'll never forget it when he passed away at 102 or whatever it was. I was in the room. And I was thinking yesterday, as I was traveling around, I'm thinking about all this, people digging wells here and people going on mission trips here and all. And I got thinking, golly, man, what faith my grandfather must have had. My great-grandfather. Wasn't no internet. Weren't even hardly newspapers. Weren't really cars. And his faith was so strong it empowered him to build a nation. You know, Jared, you're talking about this. I have this very vivid memory. You don't remember a lot of stuff when you're young kids, right? You don't remember that. But I remember vividly, I could take you and show you in 1963 where I was sitting at my great-grandfather's funeral. Remember, I'm 10. I was a little Catholic boy. My great-grandfather was a Lutheran. And we're at his funeral, and I heard this song. I can hear it in my ears right now. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. That was the song they played at my great-grandfather's funeral. You think about the music in our churches today. Jared, you were talking about the Marine song. What about Onward Christian Soldiers Marching As to War? When's the last time you heard that in your church? Open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. The whole mentality of the church has changed, brothers and sisters, in our life.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
You know, that's a good point. And you know, perhaps 100 years ago and more, you know, we were a godly nation to be evangelized like we do today. But you know what? Now we become mostly a heathen nation, except for some remnant people and people that truly love the Lord. This nation needs to be re-evangelized again. No question about it.
It does, brother. And George, I want you to think about this, because I was thinking again about Grandpa George, what we called him, Grandpa George. And I was thinking, you know what? Grandpa George lived at a time where people, they lived out alone. They were trailblazers, we would call them. They were pioneers. And Grandpa George comes and he plants a family in a little farmhouse, or who knows what they had, planted a family there. He didn't have a church community around him. He had the responsibility in his own life to pass the faith to his children. Weren't no Christian schools. Weren't even public schools. My dad, this is my dad's dad. You understand? And so we have farmed out everything in America. We farm out the training of our children. We farm out the biblical education of ourselves. We farm it out to everybody. There's an expert for everybody. And it came to me yesterday when I was reflecting on the show yesterday. I went back and listened to that. Man, there was some great stuff. And if you haven't seen yesterday's show, go back. You know what popped into my head? Here it is in a nutshell. You ready, boys and girls? We have lost the spiritual side of our faith. It's not about who you were born, where you were born, whether you were of this tribe or that tribe. It ain't about any of that. It's now we are spiritual beings. We live in a body. We possess a soul, but it ain't about physical stuff. It's not about Israel, and it's not about the Jews, and it's not about the monks, and it's not about Martin Luther. All of that stuff is a physical manifestation of what is supposed to be a spiritual journey. And we're missing it. It's a spiritual journey. We're watching what's going on in Israel. We're watching what's going on here. It doesn't matter. We're a spirit. We're gonna live forever somewhere.
Amen, Coach.
And we get caught up in genealogies, which the Bible warns us about, genealogies and do's and don'ts. And it's all physical stuff. All of it's physical. I'm a spirit man. I'm a spirit. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, lest I live, not I. Christ lives within me. Yeah. And the life I now live, I live by the grace of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. I'm a spirit. I'm not a body.
Amen.
And how much we focus on the flesh. Black Christians can't minister with white Christians because our flesh is different. Ah! Lutherans won't.
Preach it, Coach.
I'm doing my best, Serge. I'm doing my best. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Do we need a spiritual reformation in this world? Do we ever, man?
Let's get back to the bacon topic.
All right. You're gonna get me in more trouble. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You ready, guys? I'm telling you this. I'm open to everything. I'm open-minded. I'm open-minded into what comes in there, but I'm closed-minded in what I believe. You missed that. I'm open-minded into what comes in, but I'm closed-minded into what I believe.
That's a T-shirt.
That is a T-shirt, isn't it? Now, I got an email yesterday. I'm telling you, if you guys could read some of my email, that would be a show. I ought to just sit down and bet you hit. Read some of my emails, but I got one yesterday, Roger, that just absolutely, I read it to Michelle today, and she did, if she'd had a mic in her hand, she'd have dropped it too. Because I got talking about pork. Roger, see, that's how I know it's the Holy Spirit, Roger, that you would bring that up. I want to talk about bacon. Wow, are you ready? Are you guys sitting down? Y'all sitting down? Okay. Now, I don't know if it's true or not. But boy, oh boy, something about this really, really witnessed to me. Jared, let's see. Where, I know I sent it to you, man. Let's see. Yeah. Interesting email I got on pork. You ready? Are y'all ready? Sitting down, Roger? Got that bacon cooking in the background? Okay, here we go. It starts out, you know, my friend Marcus Kaiser, he told me recently that I can't get out of my head. He said the pigs are actually boar/human hybrids from the days of the Watchers messing with genetics. Marcus Kaiser is someone I respect immensely and always thought he was really intelligent. So to have someone like him tell me this gave me pause. Time out. I am not endorsing this. I'm flicking it on the table. So I asked Marcus how he knew this about pigs being part human. This is how he replied. Wow. Y'all sitting down? Sitting down, Dr. Mike Spaulding. Everybody sitting down? The initial source is Dr. Bill Daigle, and confirmation is from various research and internal Holy Spirit confirmation. Why do you think they have kids practice biology on pig fetuses? Because the organs are so like human organs. And why do you think that many pig organs can be transplanted into humans, but no other creature can? You also know the Book of Giants that tell of genetic hybridization and corruption. This is also how all the dinosaurs were made, genetic splicing by the Watchers, right? Why are we so fascinated, especially as kids, by dinosaurs? Because we recognize them as something foreign. They're not like anything else. Why is the T-Rex always debated? Because it's more like a bird. No, it's a lizard. Because the answer is yes, it is both. The giants need massive food and engineered gigantic creatures that the environment, atmosphere, radiation, magnetics, and other earth factors to be food for them. You can cross a lion and a tiger, liger, and you get a beast that is much larger than either a tiger or a lion. There's something that happens with this cross species mixing that great giants size beings, both with mixing human with fallen angel when mixing in the animal, fish, insects. You got what they're saying here? Huh? Stay with me. So after Marcus's response, I listened to Dr. Diggle, who I respect immensely, and he does indeed say that pigs are boar-human hybrids. And then I got to thinking. In the beginning of Genesis, God tells Adam and Eve that they can eat any plant and any animal that lives and breathes is good to eat. Genesis 3 says, every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I shall give you all things, even as green herbs. And Genesis 29 says, God said, I have given you every plant with seeds on the face of the earth, and every tree that has fruit with seeds, this will be your food. And Genesis 1:30 says, and to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give it every green plant for food. So in the beginning, before the watchers began mating with every living thing, the Bible clearly calls all food clean, all good. But then later on, after the incursion of the fallen angels, who, according to Enoch, corrupted humans, animals, and even plants, suddenly there is food and plants that shouldn't be eaten or used. You guys scratching your head yet? Pork being one of them. Anything with a cloven hoof is unclean unless it chews a cud. So I've been looking into and studying Bible verses, looking at the animals that were later declared by God to be unclean and not fit to eat. And I'm almost positive now that this is possibly because the genetics had been messed with. They were not created by God. In Leviticus, he calls them an abomination. In Deuteronomy, it says that they're disgusting to the Lord. Well, why would his own creation be disgusting to him? Another friend told me that since pork is said to be difficult to distinguish from human meat, it's prescribed from eating since slaughtered humans can be used for food and then passed off as pork. Ever since I've realized this, I can't stomach pork or shrimp or any of these unclean foods. Also in Leviticus, God forbids us to eat any creepy, crawly, swarmy thing. It's unclean and an abomination. Going by my theory, this means roaches, scorpions, spiders are also genetically impure. I've always had a hard time understanding why God would create roaches. Now it makes more sense. Maybe he didn't. Also interesting is that hybrid plants and vegetations made in a lab are sterile. Can you say GMO, John Hartzler? Sterile, they don't reproduce. In Genesis, God instructs of the food he gives to eat that have seeds. We know from Enoch that watchers even corrupted the plants. The forbidden plants not to be eaten are plants like poison ivy, hemlock, deadly nightshade, lichens, molds, mosses, and mushrooms. For example, mushrooms are fungi, spore-spreading scavengers of the plant world. All forms of fungus are unlawful to eat as food because they don't meet the criteria of bearing seed. What is more, they are not green. They don't photosynthesize. They live like vampires off the corpses of dead plants and animals. Instead of getting their nutrition from the soil, these sound like plants that do nothing for anyone except harm. Did the fallen angels create mushrooms? The whole point of the flood was to wipe out these abominations. And as we know, the fallen angel somehow came back after the flood and continued to corrupt God's creation. And although not to the degree it was before, Goliath the giant is thought to have been a Nephilim. I'm going to look into it more, but I just wanted to throw it out there and see what you guys think. It seems that the animals and sea creatures, which are declared unclean, are forbidden to eat, be eaten by God for a very practical reason. He didn't create them. Maybe we should listen. Wow! Now, that, to me, makes far more sense than just God declared something unclean. Somebody, what do you think, Roger?
I think it's good.
Coach, now you got it. Now you made.
I like
you rethink
the whole
diet,
concept
coach.
Of looking into things. I think.
Huh?
We should not be afraid to look into concepts.
No.
And.
But Roger, if we don't believe in the fallen angels and the Nephilim and mixing with the DNA, if we don't believe in that, then we can't even go here, right? We can't even go here. Because if you say, oh, there weren't any fallen angels, well, then all this stuff doesn't make sense. But if there were fallen angels who messed with the DNA, remember, it's the seed of the serpent, the seed of the woman, and it's always been about messing with the seed to keep the perfect seed from coming through, the Jesus. It was always about trying to screw up that seed so Jesus couldn't get through, and the hybrids were messing with the seed and making counterfeits to what God had created. This makes a lot more sense to me.
We as believers should never be afraid of robust discussions.
Amen.
We should be able to defend our faith scripturally, and that allows for robust discussions, and it allows for us not to worry about going astray if we know God's word and we surround ourselves with others that challenge us. Robust discussions are exciting, are energizing.
So take this email, folks, and go share it with your pastor. See what he says. Because he's probably going to say, oh, there wasn't any of that going on. That's not what the fallen angels were. So there you are. So you're dead in the water as to even exploring that. See, that's the point I'm trying to make. So all those people out there who follow the dietary laws, see, this makes a lot more sense to me. This makes sense to me. Don't eat pork because it's wasn't really created by God. That makes a lot more sense.
Coach,
there ain't no way. Hey, Dale, there ain't no way he made a crawfish. No way. Go ahead, Larry.
Oh, Coach, I'm sorry, brother. I'm a New Testament believer, and I'm going to go to Acts chapter 10, and I'm going to go to Corinthians where Paul dealt with it, and God dealt with the sheets coming down from heaven. And Peter said, these are unclean animals. God says, call nothing unclean that I've created. And Paul said, eat anything that has been set before you, unless it's been offered up unto idols. Brother.
I'm with you, Dale. I'm not here to argue this today. I'm giving justification for why that law might have been there. Go ahead, Larry.
That is a better way to look at it.
I just want to inject here, nothing to do with the dietary laws is what I'm going to say. But what you just read in there, there was one little phrase in there that just banged into my head of this is what I keep pointing out time and time and time again. Truth is truth. Now, he said the whole point of the flood was to get rid of these GMO products. Basically, that's what that guy wrote. That's not at all what the Bible says. The point of the flood was to get rid of evil mankind. Nothing about GMO tomatoes. And he said it was the whole point. Now, when people make statements like that in their writings, it just solidifies in my mind, in my little tiny brain, and in my heart that I dismiss the rest of what they said when they tell a blatant lie like that.
Well, as a guy who does a lot of writing, when I write, I always hear from people. I'm not criticizing you, Larry. I always hear from people who do what you just did, and I'm thinking that wasn't even what I meant. That wasn't even what I meant when I wrote that. So we have to be careful on both ends of it. All right, have to be careful. Well, I don't think he's saying this is Holy Ghost inspired. I don't think he's saying his writing is Holy Ghost inspired. And I don't think it's necessarily a lie. I think he's writing something. He's writing what he's thinking.
I'm not saying everything he said was a lie. I'm saying I am not accepting everything, or I'm not accepting anything because of what the Spirit dropped into my spirit when I heard him say the whole thing for the flood was this. Now, if he didn't mean it was the whole reason, he shouldn't have written it.
Larry, do you write?
No, I don't. But
I do. And I write a lot of things I wish I hadn't written. Just sometimes it's just a sentence. Sometimes it's just three words. When I go back and I read it again, somebody points it out. I say, doggone, I wish I hadn't said that. So I give the guy some slack. Somebody else. Nope. Come on, flick something out there. I'm going to.
Coach.
Yep.
Could you send me, you have my email, right?
Yeah.
Could you send me a copy of that?
I sure will. Interesting, isn't it? Interesting. Again, I'm not telling you I believe, but boy, it sure makes a lot of sense to me.
It does, remember, Coach. But then what happens, the logic of it is then people begin to divide one another. We begin to strain at the gnats of this, and we begin to create this religion, and we miss Jesus.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you for sure. So I just had to throw it out there. I'm not apologizing for throwing it out there. And I'm not at all. Rich, I'm looking for your.
You're the sticking the gumbo pot, Coach.
I'm doing whatever I can there, brother. Doing whatever I can. So that's what I'm thinking.
I think that's subject to interpretation, and even when the animals were going onto the ark, there were the unclean, which were 2x2, and the clean, which were sevens. So
right,
if it became a creation on this earth, I think they somehow all ended up going on the ark, or they would have been destroyed. So
okay, so listen, I'm not going to argue about it. I'm not going to go to war over. I'm not talking to you, Kevin. I just thought I'd throw the, it's Flea Flicker Friday. I thought I'd throw that out there and make you scratch your head a little bit. Okay, cool. Anybody else? I agree. D Mills now. I think he's all.
Hey, Coach.
George.
Yeah, I mean, I've got my own thoughts on the whole thing, and I won't go into that now. But I hope, if nothing else, what you've done will encourage people to think about what the heck they're putting in their bodies, because there's a lot of research you can do on the internet, not just on bacon, but on all of our corn. Hey, and when I say all, I mean all of our corn is GMO, almost all of our wheat. If anyone wants, go to Dr. Mercola online, just look it up. And he has a chart. I think I've sent it to you, Coach, of what you should and shouldn't eat, and research it. If what you just did today, Coach, there's nothing else than that, I believe people's health would improve drastically.
I do too. I would say this, and again, we have a hard time with this one too, boys. All of God's laws are protected. The only reason God would put a law into place is he wants to protect you. That's the only reason he would do it. It's not mean. Not mean. He doesn't.
Amen.
He doesn't say. If he said not to eat pork, he did it to protect us. If he said to keep holy the Sabbath, he did it to protect us. It's not laws that are thrown on our head to control us. That's not what it's about. His laws are protective. Thou shalt not steal. Why? Because he wants to protect the person he's going to be stolen from. Thou shalt not lie, bear false witness against your neighbor. Why? He wants to protect the innocent. Shall not commit adultery. Why not? Because it's dangerous. You don't want to do that. So his laws are always protective. And if we look at that as protective, then that burden of legalism shouldn't fall on us quite as much.
Yes,
but like you say, don't drink and drive. Protective.
There's a separation between the Levitical. Listen, if a person doesn't want to eat pork or whatever, if he does, once again, Paul addressed that in the New Testament. You know, he said, if it's not offered up to idols, you know, I get that. And I believe the moderation. I believe trying to keep ourselves healthy. This is the only temple that we live in. So I'm not trying to bring any conviction. But the separation was the Levitical part of that law and the moral part. God never changed the moral part of the law. And so when he said, keep the Sabbath, that does not compare to thou shalt not murder. There's a distinction there. So that, like I said, I have no problem with whether a person does or does not, because what does matter, does he murder? Yes, that still matters.
Amen. Let the Holy Spirit guide you into all truth. Hey, Jared, go to Dennis Prager. It says words, Dennis Prager. It's really, really good. It's what we're dealing with. It's what, the whole LGBT, the Boy Scouts. Boy Scouts are no longer the Boy Scouts. Now they're the Scouts. I mean, everything. They are destroying every form of history that we have. It's part of the plan. This is a 5-minute video came up on Prager University. If you guys don't watch Prager University videos, you're missing something. And my only problem with Dennis Prager is he's not saved. He's got the wisdom of man. Wish he was saved. He's Jewish. Claims to be Jewish. Israelite. He's an Israelite, right? We've learned that now. He's not a Jew. Maybe not a Jew. Could be. He's an Israelite. Jared, this is really good. I was going to pull up one of the videos I made a few years ago, although I played it a couple of times, called Change the Words, Change the World, Change the Words, Change the World, Change Marriage, Change that Word, Change Tolerance, and Tolerance is a beautiful thing, Change the Words, Change the World. This is a modern version. I saw this and I thought, man, this is worth hearing. Go ahead and play that, Jared.
What's in a word? Why does it matter whether we call someone who breaks the law to enter the country an illegal alien or an undocumented immigrant? What's the difference between a Christmas tree and a holiday tree? It's just semantics, right? Yes. And no. It is just semantics, but semantics means the meaning of words. Words exist so that we might discriminate one thing from another. Without words, we have chaos. And it starts with the first words. A baby says mama to distinguish mommy from daddy. Words shape how we think. They color how we view the world. No one understands this better than the left. They are the masters of words, because they know that words matter. The left has a special gift for euphemisms, soft words selected to sugarcoat harsh realities so as to make those harsh realities easier for us to swallow. But these soft words are insidious. Their sole purpose is to deceive. Race discrimination in hiring and college admissions is refashioned as the much nicer-sounding affirmative action. Who would ever oppose an affirmative action? Global warming, which can be measured and challenged, has morphed into climate change, which means essentially nothing because the climate is always changing. When Barack Obama became president, George Bush's war in Afghanistan suddenly transformed into the far less ominous and threatening Overseas Contingency Operation. That's one way to try to end a war, just rename it. The examples are endless. There's a new euphemism every week. In the make-believe world of leftist language, young criminals have become justice-involved youth. Mandates and taxes are individual shared responsibility payments. Government spending becomes an investment. Wanting to keep more of your hard-earned money becomes greed. Taking more of someone else's money is them paying their fair share. Opposing a Democrat in the White House is obstruction. Opposing a Republican in the White House, resistance. In the name of diversity, the left enforces intellectual conformity. It censors opposing views in the name of tolerance. And it labels all non-left views hate speech. Consider the ongoing battle over pronouns, whether to call a man who thinks he's a woman he or she. Very few people in the country suffer from gender confusion, and we should have compassion for those who do. But the left has invested countless funds, time, and energy to make everyone refer to some men as she and some women as he. Why? Is it because the left is so compassionate? Or is it more likely because so much of the left's cultural agenda is about blurring, even denying, the natural distinctions between men and women?
Amen.
Sometimes it's just an adjective that can change or even negate the entire meaning of the word it describes. Take social justice. Justice means getting what you deserve without favor. Social justice means getting what you don't deserve because you are favored. Here's one we hear a lot these days. My truth. Truth is reality regardless of any individual's feelings or perceptions. My truth is how I perceive things regardless of how they really are. And how about same-sex marriage? Let's not get into the politics. Let's just look at the language. Throughout history, in every culture, marriage has been the union of husbands, men, and wives, women. Same-sex marriage is the union of men with men or women with women, but it is most certainly not the union of husbands and wives. Once the phrase same-sex was placed before the word marriage, that is, once the definition of marriage changed, the debate changed. It became about marriage equality. It was suddenly an act of bigotry to limit marriage to husbands and wives. All this manipulation of language has paid off for the left, because whoever controls the words controls the culture. Don't believe me? Just try using plain language instead of the left's politically correct jargon. But be careful. Use the wrong words, and you might lose your job, your home, and your reputation. The culture war is largely a war of words. Right now, the left is winning. You can see the consequences everywhere. In politics, in education, in media. It's time to fight back. We should not cede another syllable. What's in a word? Everything.
Everything. Everything. Intolerance? Huh? It's a beautiful thing. Change the words, change the world. It's happening everywhere. The Boy Scouts aren't even the Boy Scouts. I mean, so the question I'm asking, I guess, this morning is, how does this happen? The majority of us, we just laugh at, oh, they're crazy. It's more insidious than that, because every one of our institutions are being destroyed as we just laugh about the crazy new euphemisms and crazy new terms, and we're those leftists. And in the meantime, we're losing our children because those new euphemisms are ground zero in the public school. And so we wake up with our 18-year-old kid doesn't believe anything like we believe, and we figure out, man, how'd that happen? Yeah, George.
Coach, I was going through some old files yesterday, and someone had given me a handout by Rusty Thomas. Is he the one, Operation Save America, or that might be Flip Benham? Anyway,
That's Rusty.
Okay, it was Rusty. Well, it was a brochure done back in the 90s, and I came across the part in the article he said, Bill Clinton is God's man. And my ears, I said, well, I got to read more about that. What's he mean? And he talked about how because we Christians have abdicated our responsibility, that the Christians have become corrupt and immoral, that's who God put in place to judge us. And mm-hmm. I thought that's why we're losing the war on words, because you know what? We're getting exactly what we deserve until there's repentance and change.
Amen, baby. So when I said change the words, change the world, man, oh man. Okay, Jared, here we go, Jared. Go to, where did I, Henry Mackow in the culture. I don't know, guys, if you know who Henry Mackow is. Doesn't matter. He'd been out there a long time. And every once in a while, I come across something really good of Henry's, and I got it today. Jared's got it up on the screen. This is May 4th, 2018, which I believe is today. Our cultural decline follows communist blueprint. I'm not going to read all this to you. Max Horkheimer said, the revolution won't happen with guns. Rather, it will happen incrementally, year by year, generation by generation. We will gradually infiltrate the educational institutions and their political offices, transforming them slowly into Marxist entities as we move towards universal egalitarianism. That was Max Horkheimer, which is one of the leading Jewish Marxists of the Frankfurt School, which pioneered cultural Marxism. Okay, Jared, can we get over here to the side? Beside his head, there's something there I want to read. The Frankfurt School, yeah, I got to get this thing off my screen. It happens on my end, I'm sorry. The Frankfurt School were a group of Marxist Jewish Jews. We know what Jews are. We understand the language now, don't we, guys? Come on, we understand the language. They're a group of Marxist Jewish intellectuals at Frankfurt University, and they immigrated to New York City after Hitler came to power. They included Horkheimer, Adorno, Marcuse, Fromm, and were responsible for the New Left and feminism. Financed by Jewish millionaire Felix Weil, they were instrumental in the degradation of American society. Okay, so here's what they did. Scroll down now, Jared. Here it is, okay? Editor. The witch hunt on today's campuses is merely the implementation of Marcuse's, what he wanted to do. Okay, so here we go. Timothy Matthews, abridged version. Here we are. Here's what they did. The creation of racial offenses. These are how they attacked our culture. They created the idea of racial offenses. They continued to change, continual change to create confusion. That's why they continue to change the word. This is all Marxist, atheistic indoctrination, teaching of sex and homosex to children. This was their plan. The undermining of schools and teachers' authority. Huge immigration to destroy identity. The promotion of excessive drinking. Emptying of churches. An unreliable legal system with bias against victims of crime. Creating dependency on the state or on state benefits. Control and dumbing down of the media. Encouraging the breakdown of the family. Oh my goodness. Okay. Now, one of the main ideas of the Frankfurt School was to exploit Freud's idea of pansexualism, the search for pleasure, the exploitation of differences between the sexes, the overthrowing of traditional relationships between men and women. I'm not going to read any more of this. By the way, Richard and all those who are following, Jared always puts these links on our, it's on our website, isn't it, Jared? Isn't that where all these links will show up after the show? So if you saw something or heard something that interested you, you can go to CoachDaveLive.com and find today's show, and all the links that Jared used in the show will be up there for you. Okay. So here's the game plan. They've done all this stuff. See, this has not happened by accident. It's not. And so just kind of circling in the back door here a little bit. Those who say they are Jews and are not. That's part of the deception, right? Part of the deception. And what's part of the deception? Well, that all Jews are our Christian brothers. And that's not true. It's just not true. And you know what else is true? We're probably Israelites too. We probably are. We're not Jews. We're probably Israelites, right? Because we all came out of those 12 tribes, and somewhere we all came out of those 12 tribes. And yet what have they done? They've changed the entire culture and made everybody who is in Israel and everybody who, they made them all Jews. They called them all Jews, and then they made it illegal to criticize them. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Is that Mark? Yep. Whoever. George, somebody.
It's George. Hey, real quick. You know, you talked about the Frankfurt School. That was excellent. Just for, and people can study this on their own, but they actually, like you said, they came into being under Hitler. But the Hitler, for all, I think we'd all agree Hitler was an awful man, right? But Hitler had the sense to kick them out of Germany. They fled from Germany because they knew Hitler was going to get rid of them. And then we embraced them here in America. They originally started at Columbia, the University of Chicago, and they infiltrated all of our most of our institutions. And that's a good study. Don't study the Frankfurt School, because when you understand the Frankfurt School, you understand that they're still alive and well today, and they're still, and it's still Jewish controlled. And that's what Hitler understood. Hitler understood, I can't have this in my nation. These people will destroy our nation. Unfortunately, we Americans haven't understood that real good.
Okay, so let me throw this one out there for you. Because as you were speaking about that, George, listen. Hey, fellas, you ready? Who was more evil, Hitler or the guys who carried out Hitler's orders? Who was more evil? Right? So we look around here and we see the evil left. Call them whatever you want to call them. The evil left. Who is more wicked? The evil left or the public school teachers who are carrying out the left's agenda? Who's more wicked? And how can you not see that this Frankfurt School and the changing of words, can you not see the infiltration into the American Christian community? Can you not see that? Can you not see the idea of tolerance and diversity and accepting everybody? Can you not see how that's filtered into the churches and how that they wanted to destroy the gospel? That's all it's about, destroying the gospel, the truth of the gospel. And they've infiltrated the churches, and you won't have a church that'll stand up and say anything. I saw something yesterday that blew me away. I should have brought it up this morning. Chuck Baldwin. How many of you out there are Chuck Baldwin readers or followers? You can raise your hand, not raise your hand. It doesn't matter. Chuck Baldwin did an article yesterday where he talks, it's called Simply Personal, I think, where he just talks about him and talks about him. You know what happened to Chuck Baldwin in his life? He now, in his own mind, through his study of scriptures and 35 years, 40 years as a pastor, he's come to the realization of two lies that he promoted his whole life. And they were, according to him now, the pre-tribulation rapture of his Baptist doctrine. He didn't believe that anymore. And he doesn't believe in this foolishness. I call it foolishness. He doesn't believe in this whole focus of Christianity on the nation of Israel. He says those are two of the greatest lies perpetrated on the church. And, you got to wonder, don't you? Don't you have to wonder? And can't we see how we're supposed to be the salt of the earth? And can't you see how the non-judgmental intolerance crowd has pushed that into the church to where the church is now non-judgmental and tolerant? That the world, that the Frankfurt School and Herbert Marcuse, that those people have become the salt of the church. They have changed Christianity. This is not my grandfather's, my great grandfather's religion. This is not my great grandfather's Christianity. It is certainly not the Christianity of the first century Christian. No way is it. That's why we need to Maybe I'm trying to lead a reformation here. I don't know what I'm trying to lead. It's like I tell you every week. I don't know what's true, but I know that isn't. Come on in here. We just got a couple minutes left. 5 minutes left. Yeah, this is good. I'd watch this show even if I wasn't doing it. I'd be part of it.
Amen, Coach. Glad to be.
Data. Data, Mark. It's all data. Yeah. They changed the data. They changed the data on us. Hey, yes. I'm going to pull this up here. 60 million Christians were killed in the Second World War. When's the Christian Holocaust celebration? When is that? Where is that taught in the public schools? Where is that talking about these poor Christians that were destroyed by communism? Where is it? Where do you hear? No, we hear about the 6 million Jews that were killed in the Holocaust.
We just got to take the word back, you know? All right, fine. Look at that. Look at that. There's a Holocaust museum. There's a Holocaust memorial. That's great that they're remembering the true history of all the Christians murdered by Stalin and in World War II. That's great.
You know, Jared, when we go to the abortion clinics, I ought to get my buddy Mark Harrington on here today because he could explain it. We go to the abortion clinics. One of the posters we take is a picture of the Holocaust. It shows Jews hanging. Excuse me. Shows Jews being gassed on the same picture now, same poster. Jews being gassed, blacks being hung, lynched, and little babies being aborted. We talked about genocide. And what is genocide? Genocide is the destruction of a certain people group. They did it to the Jews, they did it to the blacks, and now they're doing it to the unborn. It's genocide, see? And so we in the church, we don't, you know why? Because we're singing, open my eyes, Lord, I want to see Jesus. Rather than onward Christian soldiers marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. I've yelled so much I don't sing very well. The whole focus of Christianity has changed in two generations.
Or less.
Or less. Or less. Or less. Come on, 3 minutes. Help me out here. I got a bunch of more stuff I don't have time to go to. Nobody? Nobody?
This is something that's been going on for a long time. We've had once I'm gonna cause us some trouble. Once the deep state took over our government, the Marxists got control of our schools. And that's why, you know, Trump's making a lot of moves and a lot of changes, but you can't turn around a 1,000-foot ship with a 3-foot impeller. It's just, it's going to take all of us making some sort of little waves in our little areas, just like the doctrine of the lesser magistrates. We've got to start standing up and pushing back against all of this crap that's just been shoved into our culture, into our society for the last 50 years.
Amen.
We got to push back, man. We got to push back. And I'll tell you, if we don't, we will not survive. We won't survive, man. And we see, do you see how they came? I'm sorry, man. This is just so clear to me. See how they came in with birth control? How they started with the pill and how the pill brought direct rebellion to God. When God said, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and brought in the pill, and people began to have sex without consequences. And then they got enjoying sex without consequences so much that they didn't worry about the pill anymore. They just killed the baby. They didn't care about it. And then after they killed the baby, they didn't really care about it, and somebody saw some value in it, so they started selling the body parts and taking some of the placenta and putting it as a artificial sweetener and putting it in soft drinks. And you see what's happened to it? See what's happened? And when the church has gone along with it the whole time, the church has been sucked into this maelstrom, this storm of lies and deception. And the only standard of truth left is Scripture and Bible believing Christians. And Christians don't even believe their Bible. And if they do believe their Bible, they do it in secret. And Jesus said, what you've heard in secret, declare openly. Wow. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday morning.